coming. What is important for a small brewery is it's a small footprint, it's a high productivity of the system, it's a nowadays a good automation to keep labor costs low, and of course a system that provides a very high quality of wort to have good beers on the market. I'd like to present you our new compact brew house, the Sud 66. Sud is the German word for brew. My name is Friedrich Banke. I work as a senior consultant for Bucher Denwell, and shortly like to introduce the company. So we are based in Germany and also in Czech Republic. I founded Banke Process Solutions 20 years ago, and we had a big focus on the brewhouse technology, hop technology, late hopping and dry hopping. Maybe we are building the largest dry hopping systems in the world. And since 22, our focus was on energy management systems. My company was acquired last year by Bucher, and now we are Bucher Denwell, Germany. We work together with our Czech colleagues. The headquarters is in Prague, and there is a modern manufacturing site in Havličko Brod, which is 1 hour south of Prague. And Denwell is a specialist for the cold block. So that was the idea about the acquisition of Banke, to have a combination of hot block and cold block to provide entire breweries. This is the brew house design. So you see it's a real two-vessel brew house. And what is significant at the first glance is you see this conical Lautertan, which is very different to other designs, and this is one of the keys to the performance of the system, because this conical lautering allows a very fast lautering, approximately 60 minutes, and this at a good yield. And we are meshing and lautering in this vessel, and of course we have limitations of heating, so we have external heat exchangers for heating up the mesh. And on the right side you see the whirlpool kettle, where we have a new wort boiling system, which allows us to provide a really good wort with only 1 to 2% of evaporation. Here I like to explain the difference to traditional brew houses. You see with the mesh and Lautertan, we have only one transfer to the whirlpool kettle. That's the reason why we are so fast. We have no other transfers. And we achieve with this design 6 brews in 12 hours. That means with an automation, you can do this in one shift. You can make 3 brews with this small brew house. And if you compare it to a conventional two-vessel brew house with separate whirlpool, you have only 2 brews in 13 hours. And to achieve almost the same performance with a 4-vessel brew house, but then you have the double footprint and, of course, more investment. Also, the architecture is quite simple. We have only 1 central heat exchanger. We have 2 pumps and a small amount of valves. We have no sophisticated racking machine. And you see in the other arrangements, the technology or the technical components are much more, and much more investment and maintenance cost. This is the principle of the Sud 66 block. So you see the conical mesh and Lautertan on the left. In the center, you see this combined tubular heat exchanger, which we use for heating up the mesh and also the wort and for wort boiling. And on the right side, you see the Whirlpool kettle with the vapor condenser. The process starts, of course, with meshing in through a pre-mesher, which provides a very homogeneous mesh right from the beginning. We need this homogeneity to make it pumpable. And also, it's important for the yield, especially when you do only infusion meshing. Then the next step is the infusion. We're heating up with this external heat exchanger and mix the mesh with the agitator. But also decoction is possible in one tank. And I think that's something completely new, because usually you have a mesh tun and a mesh kettle where you do a transfer, you make the mesh boiling and you transfer it back. And here we do this in an inline process. So the heat exchanger has a very large surface, which enables us to heat up the mesh straight to boiling temperature. And we have here a special inlet that allows us to create a hot layer of the boiled mesh. And when this mesh boiling is finished, we turn on the agitator again and remix it. So also we have no big back and forth transfers. So also the decoction meshing is quite fast. Then we start the lautering, and during the lautering we already heat up the wort through the heat exchanger. We don't have a big heat impact because the lautering time is so short. So that means at the end of the lautering we are ready to boil. And then the boiling starts. And here you see the end of lautering, and you see this crater formation in the spent grains. And it reminds a little bit to the picture of a coffee filter. And this was originally also the idea from the inventor. He was asking himself why the coffee filter works so good. And this is also, let's say, the key of the good extraction, because it's not just a conical filter cake. It's this crater which allows the wort to do a good extraction of the spent grains. And then also during the lautering, we don't really do a raking as in a traditional lauter tun, but we have small raking steps to loosen the spent grains and to get a good extraction and get a high yield. Then on the right side, you see the wort boiling system, which is also totally different to traditional systems. What we are doing, we are entering with the superheated wort on the bottom. We have a special outlet which creates small bubbles. So on the way to the top, where the evaporation happens, there is a long path where these steam bubbles of the superheated wort can be saturated with DMS. So we have a very high efficiency of saturations. Maybe if you compare it with other wort boiling systems, usually you do an expansion evaporation on the surface, and this means you have a very short path for the steam bubbles to be saturated with the DMS. And so you're losing a lot of energy, because your steam bubbles are not, or your steam is not saturated. Then during the wort boiling, the second batch already starts with mesh in. Then we have the whirlpool rest, and the meshing is in progress. Then still the meshing is in progress. We start with the wort cooling. And then the last step in the whirlpool kettle is the discharge of the trap. And Then we start, or we continue with step four, as I had already shown before, for the second batch. I talked about energy efficiency. The brew house itself as a basic version is already quite energy efficient, but in Europe the energy prices are much higher than here. So we have an add-on energy recovery system. We call it Hexagon. Why Hexagon? Everybody knows what is energy, but what is exergy? Exergy is the energy which is able to make work. Very simple explanation. If you recover, for example, energy at a very low temperature, low water temperature, you get a huge amount of warm water, but due to the lack of a delta T, you cannot really use it for recovering energy. So what we simply do is, and the key here is the wort cooler, we are trying to recover the energy at the highest possible temperature. So that means we have a little bit more investment because the heat exchanger surfaces are a little bit higher. But the key is the wort cooler. And you see we are here generating with hot liquor, hot water with quite close to boiling temperature with 205 Fahrenheit. We store this in a separate tank, and we also have 175 Fahrenheit hot liquor, and we, in this combination, we use this for meshing, for sparging, and also for heating up the lauter wort. And beside the wort cooler, we also recover some energy from the wort boiling and heat up this 175 Fahrenheit to 205 Fahrenheit. I mean, here it's not an issue, but if you produce more volumes and the price for CO2 will also increase here in the future, so that's an option which also can be added later on. In the beginning, I said wort quality is very important, so I like to show you here some figures about the wort quality parameters. The first indicator is the TBI index, which is an index of this of the thermal impact, and the difference from the beginning to the end shouldn't be larger than 15, so we have only 10. So this TBI value is important for the shelf life of the beer and the long time stability. Then another quality criteria for the beer foam is the nitrogen. And also here we have a quite high value that ensures a good foam stability for your beer. And then, of course, you need a certain reduction of volatiles of these off flavors like DMS or other volatiles. And here you see free DMS, of course, is very low, but important is the sum in the mid of wort cooling. The value should here below 100, and we are in the range of 50 to 60. I talked about also lautering efficiency, and the next data are the spent grain analysis. Important is to have a quite dry spent grain. That means a low content of water. Here we should below 82%, which we have proven here, and also the extract values are quite good. So also the lautering and also the meshing process, degradable extract is an indicator for a good meshing process. Also these values are quite good. In the brew house yield, we are still in the range of good efficiency, which is important for your malt bill. I gave you a lot of theory, and to see how this looks in stainless steel, here are some views on installations. This was our first system in Switzerland. Energy is expensive in Switzerland, and that's at an altitude comparable to Colorado, so 1 mile high. And so we had a pressure cooking, which was a little bit a challenge. Then that's another installation in Germany. That's a 40-barrel system. Here we provided almost a new, complete new production part, starting from malt and grist handling, milling, the brew house, the cellar, the yeast handling, and also the energy management. And also we provided a new candle filter. That's an installation close to our factory, close to Munich, a 15-barrel system. Also, the malt and grist handling, the mill, the cellar, CIP, and hot water supply. And I think what's nice to see here is that's during the lautering process, you see how clear the wort is, because we don't have like a milled false bottom. It's just a perforated sheet metal, but nevertheless we get really clear wort, what you can see here. Also, you see the trap here after the whirlpool process, and you see how dry it is, which is also important for the wort losses. So you have also a very good trap separation. That's an installation in North Germany in a large pub brewery with a 30-barrel system, and they are still working traditionally with cone hops. So on the left side, you see our, we call it flavored cone for the extraction of cones. It has included a sieve, so you don't have the solids in your wort. Also, we provided the energy management system, a CIP, and a spent grain silo. That is the whirlpool kettle from this project. And that was another installation of a 35-barrel system. Here you see the meshing process. You see how homogeneous the mesh is. You see this fancy agitator, which is also part of the lautering. So also this agitator create some channels which are important to reach a high efficiency of extraction in the lautering. And on the left, you see the automation. Again, the clear wort from the lautering, and on the right side, you see the wort boiling in progress. I think here it's a little bit more understandable. It's not a very vigorous boil, but it's very efficient and yeah. This was one of the first systems, and the customer won a lot of medals, so an indicator for really good beer quality. I think this is what everybody wants. And on the right side, you see here again the conical mesh and lauter tun. Looks more than a CCT than a lauter tun. At the end of my speech, I like to summarize the benefits. I mentioned the footprint, and if you have a pub brewery, I think every seat is important to make money. It starts at 130 square feet, which is really compact. Then you have this reduced lautering time due to this conical design. And it's a real two-vessel brew house, but achieving 6 to 7 brews per day. You need only 2% of evaporation. Some of these systems run even with 1%. You have a very low energy consumption. You have a good brew house yield. And also labor these days is very expensive. So we provide a full automation for reduced labor cost, and on the long time also maintenance cost is an issue. The mechanical concept is very simple, so you have almost no maintenance, and as an add-on, we can provide our energy management system even for lower energy consumption if needed. Thank you for your attention, and if you have questions, let me know. I can imagine the conical lautering is something completely new. I'm not sure if I explained everything. It's only a few minutes, because it's limited by the transport. So it depends on the, but it's only a few minutes. It's maybe it's very fast, much faster than with a traditional Lautertan, because you don't have to pull it out. It just falls down. But this is for the automation, we are quite flexible. You can also have a master and slave and automation. You saw some projects where we also provided the cellar. So also the cellar, the CIP, and also the milling was integrated. So here we are quite flexible. Also with the platform, we are quite flexible. The systems were all based on Siemens, but here we also... in the past, we did, let's say, before COVID, the U.S. was our most important market, and we did a lot of installations also based on Rockwell.
So from understanding, the heat exchanger and the jackets and the mesh just use water, right? Just use water to heat?
It depends. We are also flexible with the heat exchanger. With our energy recovery system, we are using hot water, which is a little bit more efficient than steam, because with steam you have condensate losses or evaporation losses. But honestly, for very small breweries, the energy is not so critical. And if you have a steam boiler, that's also possible. Maybe for the operation cost, if we're providing heated equipment in the U.S., we design all heat exchangers below 15 PSI, so no ASME is required, which is also a big benefit for the, let's say, maintenance cost, because you don't need an ASME inspector. What do you mean? What? Are you talking about the steam boiler? It's it depends. What is? I would say in general, the steam boiler is even without this energy recovery system, it's smaller. You have in the process, you have two big demands. One is the heating of the wort, the other one is the boiling. And we start quite early with the heating up, so also the peak is not so high. And let's say other wort boiling systems, they usually operate in the range of, I would say, 4 to 8%. Evaporation per hour. That's the second peak. And as I explained, we have only 2%. So the second peak is very low. And even maybe if you make the heating a little bit longer, then also the heating up peak is significantly lower than in a traditional brew house. And with the that's another advantage of this hexagon system, because we do the large peak of heating up with recovered energy. And in comparison with a traditional brew house, the steam boiler has only, or we need only 25 to 30% of the performance in comparison with a traditional brew house. It's difficult, but we can, because it depends how expensive you sell your beer. I mean, if you, I think, different scenarios. If you make a kind of industrial production with bottle filling, I think it's different as if you have just a tap room and you sell it at a quite good price without filling. It always depends. But I think it's, now the market is full with second-hand equipment, but still with a large footprint. And I think especially for these smaller breweries which make their money in the tap room, every square feet is important. And I think that's the big advantage of this system. And in the beginning, I explained that we have the engineering in Germany and manufacturing in Czech Republic. I see this also a big benefit from the cost side. Here is our sales team in the back. Maybe they can answer, but we are definitely, we had production in Germany. And Simon, how much cheaper we are? I mean, if you compare, the same performance, you need a four-vessel brew house. I think that's easy to understand that two vessels are cheaper. Then also the mechanics are much cheaper and simpler. And then we have, a very cost-effective production in Czech Republic, which is also quite modern. So we have a lot of automated welding and sheet metal handling there. And of course, we cannot reach Chinese prices, but the Chinese cannot reach our quality. And I think this is what on the long term is beneficial for you. I mean, a brewery is an investment for decades. And I think if you buy it cheap, then on the long term, you have disadvantages because of, space required or energy or quality. I think you're not really saving money.
So the biggest driver on the ROI probably is the reduced labor cost you have due to this full automation of the system. So means just the fact that you can produce 3 batches in 8 hours, this already reduces your cost from 2 shifts down to 1 shift. So this really is the key driver, I guess.
And you saw maybe in the installation that they were all equipped with hop dosers, which is also important that nobody is really needed to be on site. They just have to load the dosers, and then some hours later they come back and reload it for the next batch. And I think that was also a big change in the last 5 years, that labor got so expensive all over the world. If you have other questions, please come to our booth, and you're welcome for a discussion and also for a beer. Thank you.